Wonderful to see everybody out this morning. We've got some visitors with us this morning. We're always encouraged as we have visitors with us, probably due to the season and others who are been traveling or you traveled here, and so we're happy to have you, and we pray that you have safe travels back to your home whenever it is that you head back that way. It's always good when we have the opportunity to come together to do so and to worship as the opportunity is given to us. That's brought out, tis the season. It's the way it gets caught up, or the reason for the season is other ways in which many get caught up and are talking about Christmas and the holidays and what's going on. And so in that mindset and thought, I decided to title the lesson this morning, The Reason for Every Day, The Reason for Our Life. Reason that we should be going about the way we should every day and treating one another and asking ourselves how it is we should be living our lives and looking in the mirror to see whether or not we are reflecting Christ. So I'd like to just take a few points this morning, a short time this morning, to go forth and talk about the reason for every day. The reason that we are here, the reason that we gather together, the reason we have life upon this earth. And so to start off with, it is just the reason for life. That we have life, and that all comes back, of course, to our Lord. It comes back to our God. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, if you open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson this morning. John 1 and in verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Here it says all things, everything in this world was made through our Lord and Savior. Again, we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and looking at verse 6, and it says here, it says, "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist." It brings out that all things, everyone, is created through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the young adult class this morning, we finished up the book last Sunday. And so just been going through, doing different things with them. And so today I just kind of went through and started asking them what their favorite book is, favorite verses and stuff. And one of the things that I got throughout was Genesis 1, just because without the creation, there is nothing. Without God creating this world, without God creating you and me, there is no life. There is nothing for us. That's exactly what it's bringing out here, is that through Christ, everything was made. Through our Lord, everything. And that includes you and me. That includes the breath of life that we have been given. He has blessed us with life. And so, tis the season, it's every day. The reason we are here is because the love our God has for us. I mean, you truly sit back and think about that point of Genesis 1, and God deciding, our Lord deciding, we're going to create a world. And we're going to make it so beautiful with all these trees and flowers and plants. And it's going to have all these wonderful creatures living inside of it. And then He says, we're going to put the life upon this earth. And we're going to give them dominion over it. And we're going to bless them with free will, be able to make their own decisions, and just knowing that we're not going to be perfect, knowing how bad we can mess things up, knowing where it's going to lead to, and yet continue to go ahead and go through and bless us with life, and continues to do so, continues to bless us with that life. In 1 Peter 3, or 2 Peter 3 is what that's supposed to be, 2 Peter 3, and in verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And the reason we talk about this verse here, and I can understand it, because you read verse 10. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved in the earth, and the works are done. It will be exposed. Everything's going to be gone. And yet, how long has it, how many times have we read this verse? How many times have we read the other verses? The Lord will come as a thief in the night. We go through and we talk about that. We read about the prophecy of the end of time. And that's what this is. And yet so many get caught up, and day after day goes by, month after month, year after year, and some people start to doubt. That's what's happening here. They're saying, well, the Lord said He was going to return. The Lord said He was going to destroy. The Lord said this was going to take place. So they start, well, He's not keeping His promises. So then, therefore, if He's not going to keep that promise, they start doubting our Lord and Savior altogether. But what it's telling us there in verse 9 is that He's not holding back on that promise. It's going to happen. But He is patient with us, giving you another day, giving you life upon this earth, blessing you with the opportunity to repent of your sins and to make your life right, so that you can have that home in heaven. And so the reason for every day is our Lord and Savior. He's blessed us with life, and He continues to give it, continues to let us live upon this earth. But also the reason that we have a spiritual life, the reason that we have the opportunity to even consider repenting of our sins and asking for forgiveness, it comes back to our Lord and Savior every day. Go to John chapter 1 again, going back to John chapter 1 and looking further down in verse 14. John chapter 1 and in verse 14. As it reads here, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we relate that back to verses 1 through 3 that we read earlier. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was there with God. The Word was God. And now here it says the Word became flesh. So we can substitute the word Word for Jesus Christ, our Lord, was there in the beginning, created all things, gave us life. And then He came down to this world Himself. He became human. He lived His life upon this earth. He went through and was born of a woman, and He aged, and He grew up, and He went through the trials, and He went through people doubting Him. He went through being tested and questioned. And then He went through betrayal, being crucified, being scourged, and being beat, being spat on. I mean, He blesses us with life already. A gift so great on its own. But then He goes forth and blesses us with the opportunity for our sins to be forgiven, because it's through Him that we can be set free from our sins. In John chapter 8, and in verse 32, John 8 and verse 32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And in chapter 14 and verse 6, we see that is our Lord and Savior. John 14 and verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. He is the truth that can set us free from our sin, so that we are no longer slaves of sin. But we receive that spirit of adoption to call upon our Father in heaven, to be free of the burdens on our shoulder, knowing God has forgiven us. That is all through our Lord and Savior. That is through the sacrifice that He has made for us in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and reading there in verse 14, it says, how much more... The reason it says how much more is because in verse 13 it talks about the Old Testament, the old law, in which they sacrificed goats and bulls, and they sprinkled the blood so that they could be sanctified. And so verse 14 says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
He is the sacrifice, the lamb without blemish, lived a perfect life, did no wrong, and then gave himself up so that our sins can be forgiven. It is through Jesus that we have spiritual life, that we have the opportunity to be forgiven. Our God, our Father up above, loves us so much that he sacrificed his Son, that he sent him down here so that we could live. And he lived that perfect life, which helps us further along in the spiritual life that we have. Because as we can read here in Hebrews 4, verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." So here, what that means is sometimes you might get caught up and someone says, well, you should talk to this person, or someone's trying to approach you and try to get you to let them help you and let them listen to your situation. And you're just like, well, you won't understand. You've never been in this scenario. You couldn't possibly comprehend what I'm going through. Here says Jesus, in every aspect, in every respect that we have ourselves been tempted, Jesus has also been tempted. In every way, he's been tempted. Because he lived a life upon this earth. He was a child. Just as we all grew up, just as we have children here. You know, my mind goes back to always that when he was 12 years old and he didn't tell his mom and dad where he was going. You know, they find him, what were you doing? Well, you should have known what I was doing. Again, he was still supposed to be respecting his parents while doing his father's work. Temptation. Tempted after time of teaching again and again. And he looks at his disciples and, do you not know? Do you not understand? Have you not learned yet? Do you still? When they're on the boat, right? When the storm comes and this and that happens, or when Peter sinks in the water and Jesus has to sit there, oh, you of little faith. Have you not witnessed the miracles I have already performed? Have you not been listening to the teachings I've been teaching, the parables I have told? And yet, he continues to say, oh, you of little faith. Those who should be strong, and again, the temptations that have to be on Jesus while that's all going on. To walk away, to give in, to lash out, to say something that shouldn't be said. He's been tempted as all of us have. Whether it's blurting out and saying something that shouldn't be said, swearing, or whether drunkenness, or fighting back, or anything. It says he's been tempted as we are, and so therefore we can always go to God in prayer. We can always go through our Lord and Savior, knowing that he can sympathize with us. He understands the temptations that you go through. Had a few this morning that said Philippians 4:13 is their favorite Bible verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a wonderful thought, a wonderful state in which we know that we can overcome these temptations through our Lord and Savior. Paul there talking about being content in life and not have to worry about whether he's full or starving, whether he has a roof over his head or not there. He's saying, I am content. I can be satisfied with my God and still love him in any situation. Because look at Jesus. The strength we gain through him, through the example he has set, how he was faithful in all situations. The same points of whether he was hungry, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and yet did not give in to the temptation. Or beat, or knowing what's about to come up and, you know, not giving in to temptation and fleeing the situation. Or, you know, he prayed to God that if there's any other way, but he was willing to go through whatever the will is of the Father. What a wonderful God, what a wonderful Lord and Savior we have. He's the only mediator that we have. 1 Timothy
chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." Our Lord and Savior is the one and only. Only one person gave them life so that you could have your sins forgiven. The reason for every day, the reason that we live a physical life, the reason that we have a spiritual life, and the reason we have hope of a heavenly home. Having a heavenly life, a life without pain or worry, a life where we never grow old, a life that is up in heaven where it's, again, you look at the world is a beautiful creation. So therefore, what is heaven going to be like? How much greater and better is heaven going to be? It's through our Lord and Savior that this is going to take place. It's through His sacrifice, but also knowing that He is going to be our judge. In John chapter 5 and verse 22, John 5 and looking at verse 22, it says, "For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of man." Jesus will be our judge. We will have to go through Him on that day in order to get that home in heaven. To stand before our Lord and Savior that has been through life upon this earth, that has been through temptation upon this earth, that has overcome all temptation, that has been faithful. And so there won't be an excuse, there won't be a thing where you sit there and say, "Well, you don't understand." Rather, He would look at us and say, "Well, I did it. I understand the temptation. I understand what you went through." And it'll be a just judgment. He'll be our judge. And He is there preparing that home for us. As He leaves it, preparing to leave His apostles, His disciples. John 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." He prepares a home, a room, that mansion up above that we all desire to have. Again, it comes back, the reason that we live comes through our Lord and Savior, blessing us with life, blessing us with the spiritual life, and giving us that hope of eternal life. It comes through our Lord and Savior, and why we so desire to be there. Again, yes, because I can't imagine how beautiful heaven must be and how wonderful it's going to be. But also Revelation chapter 21, verse 22 here says, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God gives the light, and its lamp is the Lamb." The Lamb is Christ. The Lamb is our Lord. And so there's no need of a temple, of a church building, a synagogue. There's no need of it.
Why? Because Jesus and our Father are there. We don't have to have a place to gather together. There's no need of that tabernacle for God to dwell as a cloud above the cherubims. He's going to be there. No need of the sun or moon, because the light that our God gives, that our Lord gives, will be the light. Bright enough light that allows outdo. So the reason that we should be getting out of bed every day and checking in the mirror to see whether or not we are in the right way with our Lord, and praying every day, studying daily, shining His light, is because our Lord and Savior, not just for a season, not just for a day, but as long as He blesses us with life upon this earth. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If there's any here that need to obey the gospel, you know what you need to do. You've heard the invitation extended time again. You've heard and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're willing to make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you want to repent of your sins. And you want to be baptized into our Lord and Savior, allowing His blood to wash your sins away through your faith. Why don't you do that today? Make your life right to God, knowing that coming up, He'll make you new, that He'll make you white as snow, a lamb without blemish. And then you know that you also have a home in heaven. You have that true hope of eternal life and eternal joy. If you're here and you've obeyed the gospel and need the prayers of the congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, we let it be known. Stand.